Welcome to the Hot Flush, the premier podcast for the perimenopausal. You're joined by your host, Mrs. Woog, and my lovely friend,
Mrs. Berry.
This is an express edition, aren't we? We're doing sort of a one-off 30-minute jump in, check it out how everyone's going.
Yes.
Because we are
it's Tuesday.
In isolation, I suspect.
Have we ever podcasted on a Tuesday?
No.
I don't think so. It's an aberration.
What have you done today, Kim?
I went and had my nasal passages violated with a swab because yesterday I felt very low energy, but that's not unusual with my Hashimoto's and my new diagnosis of fibromyalgia. So now I have two excuses for when I feel like I can't get off the lounge. But yesterday afternoon I suddenly went, it's a little cough, this thing in my throat. And then by last night it was like really dry and really scratchy, quite sore. And then the dry cough started. And suddenly I just sort of went, I can't go into the office tomorrow because Tuesday is the day that I'm normally in the office. And, I pinged my boss and my workmate last night at about 10:30 and went, I got a really sore throat because we're going to do a new little video thing that we're trialing today. And my boss was like, under no circumstances do you come in here.
No.
So I went up to Club Mona. For new listeners, that is Mona Vale Hospital, where we used to spend so much time with Oscar, it became known as Club Mona. There are actually two Hot Flush listeners who were nurses who were
That's so funny.
I may or may not have cried when I read their comments, but, you know, moving on. And it's all, do you know what? We really are lucky when it comes to our health system. Yes. I went up, there's a parking area, you stay in your car, you ring the number. They take all of your details and in doing that they're filling out all the forms and then they ring you and say, okay, you're next, just go and stand at that door. So, you know, you get out of your vehicle and you go in and they do four people, like there's four separate rooms and four nurses doing the swabs, and they do a swab at the back of your throat and then a swab.
Is that really unpleasant?
The one at the back of your throat just makes you gag. The one down your nose is really, it's not nice. It's not pleasant, but it's very quick.
Okay.
And so you just sort of, she says, breathe in, breathe out. And then
like, where on the pap smear scale does it sit? Is it worse than pap smear?
It's a bit like that. It's a similar sort of pain, like that dull, weird pain.
Scrape, scrape, scrape.
It's scraping, and then you're just like, oh, I really don't like this. And then you sort of gag again because she's going down the back of your throat and then it's all over.
Oh, you know my gag reflex. I'd be in so much trouble.
Well, I know. You'd actually have to be there with a sick bag, I reckon.
I could barely brush my teeth.
Anyway, so now that's it. Done and dusted. She sends you home with this form and then basically you text a mobile number, which is part of the New South Wales Health. And then it leads you through, you know, they ask further questions via the text message, and then you are registered. So then when the results come out, they'll just text you your result. Now, can you even imagine anything like that operating successfully in the US?
Oh, God, they're so fucked.
Like so many people I know over there are like, I wouldn't even know where to go to get tested. Like, and so.
Well, according to Trump, they've got to slow down the testing because. By slowing down the testing, they're going to slow down the cases. Fucking hell.
Oh, God. He is just so unhinged.
And he's getting worse.
He is actually getting worse. Do you know what I often think about? You know how there are laws in place, like English laws that have been around for, you know, hundreds of years, and we just go, who wrote that? Were they insane? They were, because they all had syphilis. I reckon he's like undiagnosed syphilis, don't you reckon?
Oh, he's just definitely syphilitic.
He's in the final throes of insanity.
Yeah. Anyway, so when do you get your test results back?
Up to 72 hours.
Okay.
And basically now I'm not allowed to leave the house.
Yeah.
And technically I think I'm meant to just be in a room and I'm quarantined in a room.
You will do anything to help me to get out of helping me move next week, won't you?
I am. So this is, dear listeners, this is, we tried to do this yesterday and then the day just got away from us. And I just was sitting here and I just thought, I can't believe we, like working, I was actually writing about augmented reality glasses, as you do, envy me at your leisure. And I thought, I can't believe Woogs is moving, like next week. I can't believe she's moving. And then I pinged her and now here we are.
I know.
How's the packing going?
I've done all the books. Yep. I bought a fabulous couch.
I love the couch.
Yeah. And today I didn't do very much. It's just too overwhelming. There's boxes everywhere. There's shit everywhere. And I just don't want to deal.
But this is a very good example of why you should not hold on to shit.
Yes, because you don't have a lot of shit.
You do not hold on to stuff. You're like, is this being used? Are we, you know, is this treasured? Nope, it's gone. And so
I could teach Marie Kondo a fucking thing or two.
Oh, you are, I mean, to a point of, I mean, it's almost vicious, you know. it's kicked to the curb before it's even cold.
Can I bring something up because I'm moving ahead now because I don't want to think about moving. I wrote an article today and just help me sort this out. I wrote an article, it was a real sort of tongue-in-cheek, I was having a manic moment sort of about ovulation pain.
How
when you get older your sort of cycle goes a bit hectic and haywire and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And I put it up on the main blog's Facebook page.
Yes.
And I got absolutely burnt by this woman.
Oh.
Who said, that I was just like, should I explain this to her 14-year-old daughter that's got endometriosis? Like, it was just, I was like, no, like, that's just my opinion and my experiences. But, like, she was really angry at me.
So what was her concern? Like that you just were...
Because I'd written a bit like, you know, when I was a teenager, you'd get your period and you might get a little bit of a cramp, but, you know, it didn't really floor you like it does
now.
Oh,
my God. And so she was saying you were just being, like, you know, not thinking of the children, you know?
And I said to her, look, you know, I sorry didn't mean to offend you. I said, I don't know a lot about endometriosis. I just know that it's very painful and very debilitating to a lot of women. I said, but this is a personal blog and I just wrote... Yeah. What I was going, but it's really pissed me off.
Oh God, you just sounded exactly like Wendy Harmer then. like Wendy on Twitter. Oh God.
Anyway, so do you get ovulation pains, Kim?
Not really. No.
Is there unpleasant?
I used to, but I don't. Now I don't really, maybe every so often I'll just go, I think I must be ovulating from that side this month. But I haven't had that for a while.
Maybe you're not chucking eggs down anymore.
Oh, well, look, who knows what that system's doing down there at the moment. It's just a law unto itself.
I know, it is pretty lawless, isn't it? There's no rules to be obeyed.
No. Oh, I might come every 21 days, maybe 45. Let's try 36. It's just, and then when it arrives, sometimes it's, you know, like scenes from Carrie for days, and other times it lasts for maybe 12 hours.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I've given up on trying to understand it.
Yeah, I'm trying to find some zen moment with it of just going, ah, well, whatever.
Yeah, but I've got to tell you, my mood swings are something to write home about at the moment.
Are you taking your evening primrose oil?
No, I've run out.
See?
Yes, Mum.
Sweet. Toot sweet, my sweets. Get back on that horse.
God, I just like, ugh.
I know.
Epic.
Well, now I'm, you know, I am like the, what do they call those, what do they call these, like, supplements and stuff, apart from, like, complete hoax? What are they called? Are they therapeutic? No.
Naturopathic therapies. No, I don't know what you're trying to say. See, there's my mood swing again.
Yeah, I know.
Just rude. Oh,
I know. What else is news?
My mum put her house on the market yesterday.
Oh, boy. How are you feeling about that?
Well, I'm very mixed about it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping it doesn't sell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because, you know, it's been in the family since it was built and there's so much history and we all got married there and got, you know, Grandpa's buried there and John's buried there. And, like, it's, you know, ashes and stuff. You know, it's so...
I didn't realise that level of... Yeah,
so it is a bit sort of daunting. So I'm trying not to think about that too much.
Is there no way, I mean, oh, I don't know. I mean, yeah, what do you do with something like that when there's the family's not, you know, it doesn't suit anyone in the family anymore?
No.
I didn't know John was buried there.
Yeah, well, his ashes are.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have been doing lots and lots and lots of overthinking of things this week, which has made it very, very tiring to actually just to spend some time out of my brain. But I have been doing my nightly meditations, which has been helping me sleep, which has been nice.
Oh, that's good. So that's been helping?
Yep.
We had some news.
Oh.
We bought a car.
I know. And I see you've already had a bingle.
Yeah. I already scraped the front post. Day five. 5 days.
You're not used to having the front of the car.
I don't have a nose. Like the berry bus didn't have a nose at the front.
And the berry bus was a bus.
I know. And this is the weird thing, right? I can't park it. I reverse parked. Everything. I don't like driving nose into a spot. And yet this car, which has – oh, it's a Kia Carnival in case anyone's wondering, silver, ex-fleet vehicle. It has come across from South Australia on a train, 2018 model, base model, 33,000 Ks. That should cover you. Have that down pat because Oscar asked many times. Still living his best life by just going out the front and staring at it. And then
ringing me about it.
Yeah. Ringing everyone, it turns out. I had three different people say to me, it's like, oh, Oscar's been messaging me nonstop. I'm like, how does he even have your number? Like, anyway, I just am not used to it. And I can't park it, reverse park it, even though it has a camera.
Who's clanging around in the kitchen? Tell them to stop it.
Felix is clanging around in the kitchen. Someone's making something. Who's cooking?
Oh, probably the one banging around in the kitchen.
What are you making?
Just burgers today.
Yeah. Oh, he's making some burgers. Oh, alarm's going off, things clanging. Yes, so we have a car and it's so nice. Oh my God, we feel like adults.
That's exciting.
It's really exciting.
No,
it's really
good and so well-deserved.
It has Bluetooth that works and it
connects. Can I ask how you sent off the berry bus, please?
It's still sitting out the front. It's on car sales. We had a guy ring yesterday and offer us, like, you know, some cash for it. And we went, yep. And then today he hasn't turned up. And I'm like, oh, come, please, take it, please.
How much do you want from it? There might be a flusher out there in the need for a coffin on wheels.
We put it up for $5,000 and this guy offered $3,500 cash and we were like, yep, sold.
And he didn't turn up.
And he hasn't turned up. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake, come on, I'm done. It's gone. I don't want any more.
And it'd be feeling pretty bad looking at the new car.
It's kind of weird. I thought I'd feel a lot sadder about it than I do. I think because it's so nice to drive suddenly. Like even the boys are like, Mum, these are like proper seats. It doesn't feel like you're on a bus. I'm like, oh, wow.
I'll always remember our road trip up to Bathurst in the berry bus. Every jolt, every pebble on the road. And when you had your little micro sleep going through the Blue Mountains. I thought that was the last thing I'd be doing is be sitting in the berry bus.
God, I know, right? Oh, my God. That was, yeah. As Rob says, it's like it's like a boat. The suspension's like a boat. Just swing from side to side. And like now I'm in a car and it doesn't rattle and it's quiet and the radio works and the Bluetooth works and oh my God, it's just luxury. It's luxury.
I tell you. The berries can have nice things.
Yes. Yes.
Now, did you hear the news today that Allen's Lollies are changing the name of their Redskins and their Chicos?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And people are just losing their tiny minds about it.
I'm going to write about it.
Really? What are your thoughts?
Well, about companies actually going, okay, yep, we're called on it. Done.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And what's going to change? What's going to change for? I'm still going to buy my Chicos because you know I eat a bag a day. And I can't have Redskins anymore because you know.
Teeth. No. Oh my God. How sad is that?
I know. But you know, I think they're being, you know, very woke. That is a word that people are using at the moment. Woke.
And do you know what? It's actually not about being woke. It's about acknowledging.
Better.
Yeah. It's about acknowledging that it's not okay anymore.
Yeah. And times
it wasn't okay. It was never okay. But now we're actually going to change.
Yeah.
Because enough's enough. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
I saw earlier today, there was a thing up on Instagram. There's an African-American professional NASCAR racer.
Yep.
And he's the only one.
Disgusting.
Someone put a noose in their garage at whatever the NASCAR race was or about to have. And
that's a hate crime.
Yeah. And when they, anyway, and there was a picture up today, a noose was left in his garage. And anyway, what they did was all of the NASCAR races today pushed his car to the front of the track to show their support for him. I may have cried when Rob told the update.
That just goes to show that for every dickhead there is in the world, there is dozens of good people.
And did you know NASCAR has actually banned the Confederate flag.
Yes. And so these changes from are NASCAR, happening.
From NASCAR. Like the whitest of white racist redneck land. It's just phenomenal.
See, we're learning and we're schooling people and by doing these small things, I've just noticed now, like looking at advertising, I'm starting to see people of colour and different races being represented. I know that the Country Road campaign at the moment has got Indigenous models. And it's just so good.
Well, it's about time. And this is the thing that I think I've really struggled with because I got quite down about this last week on myself of not even realising the depth of it. You know, like sort of knowing some of the stuff about the incarceration rates and health sort of crises, but not knowing that since the Royal Commission in 1990, how many more people have died, and not knowing just the systemic nature of it, Rob and I catching ourselves using particular turns of phrase and stuff and going, do you know, and then looking at and going, oh my God, that's actually rooted in, you know, something deeply racist. And it's like, God, it just doesn't. And we have to do this. We have to be better. And I think the minute we start arcing up at it, we've then got to ask about why we're arcing up at it. Because that's where the true growth comes, I think. That part where it becomes uncomfortable for us.
Yeah.
So for me in my job, I'm making a really conscious effort to seek out and to find Indigenous manufacturers and businesses, ingredient suppliers, you name it. I mean, and just to ensure that they're being seen and heard, because a lot of them don't, just like lots of other startups which we shine a light on, but they don't know, they don't have the access to the resources that bigger fish have. And so it's just something that we're quite consciously trying to work on. But there's so much work to be done. But back to this NASCAR story, this is on the ABC site just this afternoon. NASCAR drivers have put on a show of support for fellow racer Bubba Wallace a day after a noose was found in his team garage. Drivers and support crews at the Talladega Speedway in Alabama pushed Wallace, NASCAR's only black driver, in his car to the starting line. While Wallace steered the number 43 to the front of pit road, NASCAR champion Kyle Busch pushed the famous car on one side while close friend Ryan Blaney took the other. The entire 40-driver field took and their crew members followed. After the car came to a stop, Wallace climbed out, sat on the window ledge and sobbed. Richard Petty, his Hall of Fame team owner, gently placed a hand on Wallace's shoulder.
Yeah, that's hit me.
Bloody hell. And you should see the images. Like, there's
maybe
just people.
Kim, if you can write a note to share that with the Hot Flush Facebook page, that might be a nice one to start talking about. Speaking of Hot Flush Facebook page,
yes.
I must thank one of our lovely readers who's also in the Judith Lucy community page, gave us a big shout out. So I've been letting in lots of lovely Judith Lucy people
in
the group this week. And Judith is one of my girl crushes.
She's
love her.
Stand, move along. Next to Hannah Gadsby, Judith Lucy, they're just...
Yeah, she's one of my favourites. So welcome to all the Judith Lucy people, and we hope that we do half a good as job to make you laugh, even though I don't think we're making anyone laugh this week with our podcast.
Oh, I don't know. People just love hearing us natter on and just really not... I don't know. Apparently that's enough. Apparently us nattering somehow helps the world. Who knew?
Have you got any physical ailments at the moment apart from coronavirus, Buff?
No. I'm just I'm working on my sleep hygiene because apparently I am 85. I'm here to tell you that melatonin is not melatonin. Is that right? Serotonin. No, melatonin. The tablets taste like super glue, but, yeah, it actually really works.
As well as good as a nip of scotch.
Yeah, no, it's deep. It's proper deep sleep.
Oh, nice.
I don't take it all the time though. Like, I just take it when I'm getting my period or when my legs. I've got really bad restless legs.
It was so funny. I was doing Huffy Puffy with Mrs. Goodman this morning.
Yeah.
And Karen, the trainer. We were doing like full on old lady exercises. Because she's saying, like, as you get older, your bones get brittle, and that's why you break. You see all the little old ladies with broken
wrists.
Oh, my
God. Do you think we're moving into the category of where people say, have you had a fall? Not
suffered
that you fell
fall.
Over. Did you suffer
suffered a fall? That's what you, when you read the obituaries, because sometimes I do that, they say, she suffered a fall a few months ago and broke her hip. And then she died. My grandma died, Nana Myrtle Murphy. Died a year and a day after my pa, Jim Murphy, died. She was as fit as a fiddle, and she went and had her – can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, because Mr. Wig's trying to ring me on the other line, but disregard that. She had a hip replacement, and she never got off the table.
Wow. Just like that?
Yep.
Well,
she was quite frank. She was quite a cranky old lady.
Myrtle is a great name, though.
It's a great name. I have Myrtle and Marion.
Oh, I think
Marion was my mum's mum, and she was the nicest, kindest, gentlest, lovely, big plump nana. You know what you like? Myrtle was a fat shamer.
Yeah. Oh, right. Well, that's
like, mean. Like your mum.
Mean Myrtle.
I hope you're not listening, Dad. Love you.
Sorry, that's bad. Hi, Mr. Kate. I'm sorry.
You know, when I used to go and visit her, she lived in this retirement village, and my favourite thing in the world would go to the toilet and press the alarm button.
Oh, my God, you were such a shit.
And so all the paramedics would come running into the unit, and Myrtle would be making a roast chook, and they'd go, oh, have you got your granddaughter here again?
Oh, you are so... My God, I would have just... You were incorrigible.
I was dreadful.
Dreadful. Hey, I you know how I think I mentioned to you that I was joining the sourdough bandwagon.
Yeah. I really love talking about shit like that.
I know. And I had a couple of really not, they really weren't successful. I could call them failures, but we ate them when they were really hot with lots of butter. And really, what's a failure about hot buttered carbs? Butter. You'll be pleased to know that I have persisted. I've persisted, and the loaves are now coming good.
The fishes and the loaves.
Really boring story.
Myrtle was also a very big Catholic.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, and then so she had two daughters, Auntie Pat and Auntie Margaret, both of them still with us. And then Pa came back from war, and she had Dad. And then all she wanted Dad to do was to be a priest.
Oh, God.
So Dad went and joined the priesthood with Cardinal Pell up in the Blue Mountains Tony Abbott. And he didn't last very long because Mum stole him from Jesus, and so then Myrtle never forgave my mother.
Mum stole him from Jesus. That's so good.
She boom chicky wow wowed herself in and stole him from Jesus.
Oh, God. That's the best.
Honestly, people think I make shit up.
Yeah.
Nothing is made up.
Oh, that is, yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. That's very funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so when they divorced, of course, then Myrtle was mortified.
Oh, God. Just
talk
about running.
And so Dad couldn't get remarried to my beautiful stepmother in the church, which Myrtle was mortified by.
Oh, Myrtle sounds like she needed to let a few things go.
Well, and I really hope Dad's not listening now. Myrtle was up the duff when she got married.
It's always those ones. It's always the ones.
Up the duff, and we'd never talk about it.
Have you just revealed a, like,
everything.
Family secret?
Yeah.
A deep, dark family secret?
Yeah.
Well, you know that my birth mother was 14.
Yeah.
And my birth father was 16. And, they were meant to be at the Royal Easter Show, but instead they stayed home and did the dirty.
Oh, wow. That's Jack's age.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. Jess was 14. Yeah. Having a kid at 14. Wow.
Did they make her go to one of the girls' homes?
Yep. They sent her up to Pymble, to the single mother's, home.
So then you, like, at a time unwed, that you actually need
unwed mothers, and get this.
So much emotional support is denied.
And they told all the they told everyone at school that she was she'd actually been sent to PLC Pymble, which is where I went to school.
Wow.
And then after I was born, her mum and dad got counselling. She didn't. That her parents were told the best thing you can do is pick her up and not mention it. So they picked her up something 4 days after I was born or something.
Oh my God.
Can you imagine? Like after, and they went on their annual family holiday.
Jesus.
She had to lie on the beach in her swimmers. And
she'd be still bleeding and
She had to lie on the beach, like on a tummy, because her boobs were leaking.
Oh, fucking hell.
And it wasn't talked about until my actual 21st birthday.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and she came home from overseas. She was traveling overseas, and she just came home suddenly and surprised her mum by sort of arriving at the front door. And her mum opened the door, and after they did the initial, like, oh, you're back, oh, my God, you're back, she said, do you know what day it is? And she said, it's Lisa's birthday. And I was, because they'd called me Lisa. So So they drank something like 4 bottles of champagne. I don't know where I get that from. And that was the first time they spoke about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny how times changed?
Oh, it's just amazing.
See, this is why, harking back to the racism row, I think it's got to change.
Yeah. And, you know, particularly in this regard, like, nothing good comes from shame.
No.
You shame people, nothing good comes from it. And I think about, there's generations of women and children who just have this, you know, grew up with this sort of, oh, you know, she's adopted, or, oh, you know, do you think she'll ever find the baby? Like, and just, oh. And I look at all of my birth family now, like both sides, and, you know, this was just not a couple affected. These are whole families.
Yeah.
Parents, grandparents, friends, extended relatives. Like, when my birth grandmother, when Molly died, a man came up to me and he said, we always thought of you. We always hoped you were okay. And because he'd lived there, they were the next door neighbours.
Oh, my God.
It's so, look, you know, I could talk about the adoption stuff till my, I find it so fascinating. Not even just that I was, but just the constructs that we create for ourselves as a society.
But even things like, I've got friends who are my age, childless by choice,
yep,
single, and do you know what they get? When are you going to find a man? When are you going to have a baby?
Yeah.
Like, fuck off.
I know. Yeah.
Like, you know, that's not the path for everyone. And they're still worthy and they're still, like, just
also,
as...
Also, like, none of their business. It's just richer. None of their business.
Yeah.
Like, none of their business.
Anyway.
It's like...
Seriously, is he doing a kitchen fucking renovation?
No, it's his day. He's emptying the dishwasher.
Oh, fuck, can you tell him to do it quietly?
No, because then he'll do it even louder. Because he is my child. And he's like, huh, I can poke this with a stick.
Tell him that Auntie Kate's getting cranky.
Oh, did you hear that?
Right, it's on.
Hey, tell me about Harry's head.
Harry's head.
The shaving.
Oh, just situation normal.
Yeah.
Go to a mate's house, they're bored, they've got clippers. You know what it's like, surely.
Yes.
It actually quite suits him.
What was that?
Classic boys' night haircut.
Classic boys' night haircut.
He's got two eyebrows.
Yeah, he does. He's still got his eyebrows though, Felix. Oh, that's fine apparently.
I'm going to have to go, darling.
Permanently eyebrowless because he'd always fall asleep at their when they got together.
So they'd
always shave off an eyebrow. Like,
you can always tell the kid who's had too much to drink at a party, can't you?
Well, I think they were all rather inebriated. It was just that Cal would be the one who would just never walk down. And I sort of feel for him because I'm the sort of person that just goes, I just need to lie down. I'll be fine. I'll come good.
Kim, we're going to have to cut it short there, darling. I've got shit I need to do.
I should probably, I am actually technically meant to be working, but then I do also need to start making dinner at some point, even though technically I'm meant to be in quarantine in my bedroom and not seeing or touching or breathing on anyone.
And I'm sorry that you have to upload the podcast.
Oh, my poor sausage. I was so – she meant well, but, my God, it was
very – She was just looking after you, but she made me feel like a piece of shit. But anyway. Yes.
And you just – this is one of those things, right, where
– they're choosing favourites.
We just don't know. Like, you don't know. Like, don't make presumptions about people.
Yeah.
In general. Like,
though we think Trump's got syphilis.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he's kind of fair game. Come on. Like, really? I think when we're talking about us mere mortal folk who are just getting by, living our daily life.
Somehow just getting by. It's a fucking mystery.
Just don't make assumptions why that woman, you know, cut you off in the supermarket, or that person, or why, you know, I'm uploading the podcast and work stuff. Just don't.
Because I don't know about these things.
I'm a control freak, and I was the one that had the technical ability, so I did it. And that was, 5 years ago. And I could totally teach you, but I can't be bothered.
And you know it wouldn't work.
And I know it wouldn't work. I know that somehow the Rugby Boys podcast would suddenly have the two of us, because somehow you managed to upload it to some random, you know, just, I don't know.
No. Okie dokie. Well, I'm going to go and make a pie.
What are you making?
I'm making a Simone Lowe chunky beef and vegetable
pie. Oh, I thought you were making a pie.
Yeah, I am. And I've got to make the mashed potatoes because I'm really hunkering for a pie and mash tonight with peas.
Oh, nice. Have you got fake gravy?
No, I don't need fake gravy because it's got pie.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, true.
What are you having?
I was going to make a Musselman curry, but it's 4:45 and I haven't made it. So I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be.
Fuck, I hate making dinner.
Yeah, every fucking night.
Okay, my friend, I love you. All right. Have fun in your 2 weeks of quarantine, as we like to say.
Just keep plucking.